Hola, mi gente. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here. My brand new book, Financially Lit, is officially out. And I can't wait for you to get your copy. Inside this book, I'm bringing you culturally relevant and relatable personal finance advice that will allow you to finally feel seen, heard, and understood. Whether it's the guilt you feel from being the first person to make it while members of your family are still struggling, or the way that financial trauma manifests itself in negative and limiting beliefs around money, Financially Lit is here to guide you through it all. Just a few years ago, it was almost impossible to find personal finance books written for first-generation wealth-building Latinas. We have been forced to navigate the complicated world of money with a bunch of money books written by old white dudes who don't understand what it's like for us first-gen kids. But that stops right here, right now. Inside Financially Lit, you will learn how to set boundaries with your familia, with your dinero, create and pass on generational wealth, diversify and increase your income, protect yourself from financial abuse, navigate the complicated relationship between amor and dinero, invest like a white dude or better, and so much more. You can get your hard copy and audiobook version of Financially Lit at financiallylitbook.com, and make sure to join our email list so you can find out when I'm stopping in a city near you for the Financially Lit book tour. See you soon.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
What advice would you give to somebody who is in that place in their career? What's one thing that I need to do in order to give myself permission to start making that transition?
Start small. There's so much information out there. So one step at a time. I didn't look at it as a big picture because it's so overwhelming and then I don't do anything. Just one step at a time. Another thing too, with all the information that's online, look for people that they don't have to look like you, but are in the same situation, have the same upbringing. You can kind of relate to them and see like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it for sure. When you can't relate to the person for nothing, this is just falling on dead ears at this point. So that's one of the things. And right now I'm living in the uncomfortable. So when I showed up on social media, getting on stories and showing my face and talking, I was like, throw up. And I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable, but keep doing it until it becomes comfortable. Now I just show up. I'm like, listen up.
I got some shit to say and I'm going to say it.
I show up and I'm more comfortable with that. So now I'm like, okay, what's going to make me a little bit more uncomfortable? Sit in that until you get comfortable and go on and go on.
You're listening to Yo Quiero Dinero, a personal finance podcast for the modern Latina. I'm your host, Janice Torres, award-winning Latina personal finance expert. I didn't always have my financial shit together, but when I started looking for POC-friendly personal finance podcasts, I couldn't find any. And so Yo Quiero Dinero was born. On this show, I'll show you how to make dinero, how to keep your dinero, and most importantly, how to make it grow. Each week, I'm connecting you with the most brilliant minds in the world of money and business, so you can learn about investing, entrepreneurship, and building wealth. The best part? I'm dishing up all this knowledge with a sassy side of sazón. So if you're ready to be poderosa with your dinero, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Before we hop into today's conversation, I want to remind you to follow us on social. If you're loving this podcast and you want more community, you want to find out more about our events and all the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else you love to hang out on the internet. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review if you listen to us on Apple. It's the easiest way to share our podcast with people that you know and love, and it helps us get discovered by amazing listeners like you. So take a moment, leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and make sure to check out our blog, YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com, where you can sign up for our email list and you'll never miss an episode. Plus, you get exclusive invitations to our live events, special discounts for our digital courses, And as always, our best personal finance tips and advice to help you be poderosa with your dinero. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get into the episode. Joanna, welcome to the show. I'm so excited for you to be here. Thank you for being here.
It's an honor to be here, Janice. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so, so excited.
You know, I have been doing a lot more episodes with like students of mine, clients of mine, because I find that there's just a different level of inspiration that comes when you see like, quote unquote, regular people out here starting from scratch, watching them build, watching them create these amazing things. And I have been watching you since you were a student in my blog bootcamp. And let me tell you, I'm not a mom, but I feel like if I was, I would know what they're talking about when you're just like, the pride and joy of my life is my little children's out here in the world. And so I am so excited for us to dive into all the incredible stuff that you've been doing. But first, let's start off with an introduction of who you are and what you do.
So my name is Joanna Munoz, and I am a nurse who is actually taking a break from the healthcare system to pursue my passion in blogging, content creation, and interior design.
Hells to the yes. I'm here for the career sabbaticals, for exploring your passions, and for having multiple identities, because I think especially as people of color, we are not given permission to do that shit. It's like, go to school, get the degree, do the thing for 40 years, and then go and do the shit you want to do. And we are rejecting that narrative, and so are you.
Exactly. That's exactly.
All right. So let's backtrack. Let's start off in the beginning. First and foremost, tell me a little bit more about your childhood, your money story, and maybe how that manifested itself into you pursuing a nursing career.
Growing up, my mother was a single mom of four kids. My dad was always around, but didn't live with us. And I'm actually the only child between my mother and father. I have three siblings from each side. And growing up, it was living literally paycheck to paycheck. But the people around me were working 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. On the weekends, we are living the YOLO life, partying. And once a year, everyone would get a bonus. And I'm looking at around and I'm like, oh, everyone's talking about like, oh, it's almost that time of the year. And this bonus was literally your income tax return. People would wait to plan shit for that income tax return. Matter of fact, when I got my first job, I was 15. I was so, so excited. And I had to help my mom. That was no choice. You have to pay. You have to help with the bills. And I wanted to save money to buy a car. I wanted to drive immediately, like literally got my license and I was like, I'm out the door. And I wanted to save money. And she said, you have to help me. You can save a little bit, but wait till you get your income tax return and then buy a car. And I was like, oh, okay, got it, right? I waited. I filed my little taxes. I think I got between like $300 and $600. And then I went to go get my car. So it just became this thing where it's like, oh, tax return. Like that was literally the mindset. And credit cards were, I think, gave me like a negative mindset because I remember my mom consolidating her debt. She had a few credit cards. She never liked owing a lot of money, but she was always really bad at managing what she had. And I remember her doing that. I don't remember a lot of the details, but I remember her being a little stressed about it and like consolidating it. And I thought that was like, oh, that's a really good thing. And that was literally my life through college, because in college, you're not going to believe the story, Janice. I went to Subway. My boyfriend and I went to Subway and they were giving free footlong sandwiches if you apply for a credit card. And I was like, what? A free sandwich for a credit card? Yes. So we literally were calling our friends. Everyone was calling each other like, yo, they gave me free sandwiches. Let me tell you, I was broke and hungry in college. They gave me free sandwiches all you have to do is apply for a credit card. Applied for it. My limit was $2,500 and that was my first credit card and I blew right through it. I can't even tell you what I spent it on. Probably food, honestly. And years later, actually, that's illegal. So someone sued. I don't know what happened. I remember getting something in the mail and I did get some money back. But I cannot believe that that was the mindset that I still had even up to college. I didn't learn anything about finances until like 2017, 2018, honestly.
And how old were you at that point?
I was like in my late 20s, early 30s.
Damn. That's so relatable, though, because, I mean, who is learning about money in our community? Absolutely nobody. We're learning a las malas. Like, when shit goes down, it's like, oh, wait, I don't think it's supposed to work like this.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like choices out of necessity, right? Because we needed to. But then making bad choices because we had bad habits with our money.
Oof, that definitely rings a bell. And I think I have a very similar story in the sense of like just seeing money being a stressor in my household. I knew I wanted to make a lot of it. And so I knew I wanted to like get a career that, quote unquote, I knew I was going to make a lot of money. And so that's why I ended up pursuing engineering. Did you end up pursuing nursing because you wanted to make a lot of money?
100%. Yes. I think the nursing for me was almost like a fight or flight response. My first job was at a doctor's office. I loved that job. And I was like, oh, I like healthcare. I like helping people. And when my mom found out I was going to nursing school, she was like, yes, like you need to go to nursing school. Nurses are making like a ton of money, which that's kind of bullshit. Yeah, we're making money. You know the hours we have to work?
Oh, it's doctor's hours, right? It's 12-hour days.
12-hour, yep, days, 12-hour nights. For you to make money, you have to work double shifts. So yes, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll do nursing. I would make a lot of money doing nursing. So that was what helped. And not to say I didn't love my career. I still do love it, but I just don't like the healthcare system.
Yeah. I mean, the healthcare system here is ghetto. Like as a patient, I can only imagine what it's like as somebody in it, especially during the pandemic recently. You know, like we heard all these stories of just crazy burnout, just a lot of people leaving the profession. What was your experience during that whole thing?
So luckily for me, so I worked in the NICU, so in the neonatal intensive care unit. And luckily for us, a lot of the babies were not getting super sick. But the saddest part was that the moms needed to be separated from the babies if they did have it. But there were moments where, like, you know, there's a suspicion of a baby being sick or something, and then you had to like gown, mask, and all that stuff. I honestly saw a lot of true colors from people coming out, the ones that were willing to step up and the ones that were like, no, I'm not dealing with this. And I feel like the environment became toxic, but not so much during 2020. It was like after that, it just became toxic. The morale, people were low, people were tired. Like everyone was just like so over it.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see how that would be a thing, because once you give people the option to comply with regulations or not, it's like everybody starts exercising their free will. We're in a free country. I'm gonna do what I want. And when you're talking about a situation that like could literally be a life and death thing, that shit will wear on you super quickly when you have people that are just like, no, this isn't real, or I'm not doing this, and blah, blah, blah. So it definitely sounds like a toxic environment. Now, I want to know, in the background, you have had this passion for interior design for a long time, and you've been kind of sharing that online. Where did that come from? When did that start?
So it's funny because in 2016, I bought my first house, and I was looking for a TV stand. I was like, you know what? Let me look online and see what ideas I can find. And I went on Pinterest and I saw someone convert a dresser into a TV stand. And I was like, oh, this is such a cool idea. I want to try to do that. So I started painting furniture. I converted that dresser into a TV stand, loved it. And then I started doing things for friends, like, oh, I have this chair, paint this or sand it. And that turned into me staging the furniture. So I would do custom work and I would buy furniture on Facebook Marketplace and sell it after I refinish it. And then I started staging it in my garage and people were like, ooh, come to my house, like help me with this room. So it wasn't so much of a passion for interior design. Like I always loved to decorate and all that stuff. It was more of like a journey from, I just want a dresser turn into a TV stand. I just want a damn solid wood TV stand. And one thing led to another and led to another. And that's how I'm here. And sometimes I literally cannot wrap my head around, like, how did I get here?
Yeah. That's usually how this entrepreneurial thing goes, okay? We are never really out here planning to like build a whole ass brand and do this thing, but there's just something, we identify some issue in the world and we figure out how can I solve this issue? And for you, it was like, there's so much bullshit cheap furniture out here and there's so much stuff that is being thrown away. Why can't I just like upcycle this and make this exactly what I want?
Exactly.
Okay. So let's dive into now your journey as a blogger. So at what point did you decide maybe this is going to be the medium for me to share this stuff? Because I'm sure for you, the same way it was for me, you just had all these people coming up to you, asking you questions. How are you doing this? Where are you finding your stuff? How are you teaching yourself to do this? And at some point you kind of get tired of like saying the same shit over and over again. So you're like, how can I be more productive with my time and put this in a place where other people can find it?
So in... what year was this? Because I took your Side Hustle Summit, the second one too, as well. That was 2020. And I remember when I took that course, you were talking about all these different side hustles. And I had my little hobby that turned into a little side hustle already. And I was like, what else is there? What more can I do? And one of the things you mentioned was blogging. So I was like, oh, I'm already on social media. I'm on Instagram. Why don't I just have my own website? Like, how cool would that be? Then you started talking about how eventually you can add ads and make money that way. And I was like, oh, that's easy. I already have my pictures. I'll just put my information on there. So that's where my blogging journey started, was in 2020. But I was having such a hard time with WordPress and starting it all. So I sat on the idea for a long time and didn't really have my website and my blog up until July of 2021. So a year later.
Yeah. And I want to say I launched the blog bootcamp maybe a year after that, 2022.
I think I took your class in the blogging course in 2021 in September.
Okay. You're right.
Because I remember I sent you a message and I said, I already have my website. I have my blog. Give me more information about your cohort, your course.
You're right. I think you were part of the second cohort.
Yes, the program.
Okay, so you have your brand, you take this course. What is it about the program specifically that you think has allowed you to make progress that you couldn't necessarily make by yourself, like trying to DIY things?
So there was so much information in that course. I knew that I could have ads on my website, but I only thought that I had to reach a certain amount of views per month. Like I thought I had to go from like Google AdSense to Mediavine. I mean, not Mediavine. What the heck is Media?
No, Mediavine is a thing.
That's a thing?
It is a thing. Yeah. AdThrive.
AdThrive?
Yes, which is now Raptive, by the way, y'all, in case you Google AdThrive. Yeah, they've changed names.
Oh God, I can't keep up all these changes. So I thought that that was like the only two options. And I'm like, but how do I get to any of it? So that the back end stuff, like that information really helped me. And then when I was on your podcast with a group of ladies, one of them actually mentioned that she was accepted into She Media. So I was like, oh, let me apply to that. And then I got in and that's what I've been doing now.
I love it. So you have been able to monetize without having tens of thousands of monthly views and all this stuff. And I think it's so important for folks to know, like, you can monetize pretty much from the beginning if you have a strategic plan. So I want to dive more into kind of what your whole business looks like now at this point. So you started building your blog, you're creating social media content. You blew up on social media, girl. Like, talk to me about these viral moments that you've been having. What do you think is the key to what you've been experiencing with your social media growth?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fast forward to the end of 2024. Think about your goals. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If you want to learn a new language, you should absolutely get Babbel. You don't need to pay hundreds of dollars to private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Just like the information that we share here on Yo Quiero Dinero, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so that you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Babbel's convenient courses have helped me learn real-life French conversational skills. I was so intimidated by the French language the first time that I visited Paris, but with Babbel's help, I learned how to order food, ask for directions, all without having to consult a random language app while I'm on vacation. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/dinero. Get 50% off at babbel.com/dinero, spelled babbel.com/dinero. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Social media is so tricky for me. I feel like you have to really be in the mindset to take negative comments. I had one of the videos I posted, it was like my radiators. My radiators really piss people off.
I hate radiators personally, but that's just because they're a trigger for me of the cold.
I love my radiators. But that went viral and it was a lot of negative comments. I'm okay with, but you really have to be in the mindset that it shouldn't scare you. Like that video, I took it and I repurposed it and I still shared it even years later. I'm like, it pissed a lot of people off, but here they are and they're still looking great.
And so you, just to give folks some context, like you had some old radiators in your house. You decided to refinish them and you walked people through the process in this reel and people lost their whole fucking minds.
They lost their shit. Radiators. They were painted before and the paint was chipping and people were like, it's got lead and all of these things. Like, how could you paint it? It's going to smell. It's going to melt when the heat turns on, like all of these things. And I don't know. And I'm still trying to figure out what the key is on social media about going viral, because it's literally the most unexpected videos that go viral. I spend so much time on some videos and I'm like, this is it.
And it's never the case.
Nothing happens. But I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. But the thing I really do love about it is that for me, that's my portfolio. And that's my creative space. That's where I can share all of the things I'm loving right now, what I'm doing right now, whether or not it gets a lot of views or doesn't. And my community actually helps me create more videos. They ask questions and I'm like, oh, you know what? That is a good idea. Let me post another video or let me share something on my stories to give more information. So it's almost like one thing is leading to another based on the feedback that I'm getting.
Yeah, I love the fact that like even negative attention honestly is good for a creator because it's still engagement. And I think that's what people don't get. Like, don't be afraid of the stupid comments. I had a post go viral on TikTok where I made Puerto Rican potato salad, which has chopped up apples, and people lost their fucking minds about apples being in potato salad, even though it's like absolutely a thing. And it went viral and I got like tens of thousands of followers from this whole shit. And I'm like, y'all can argue in the comments all you want, but I'm laughing all the way to the bank, honey, because I'm capturing all your dumbass traffic while y'all are just out here being mad. So like, don't be afraid of the trolls and the haters, because the algorithm likes that shit too.
Exactly. They do.
So let's talk about the blog and your social media. How are they tied together? Like, are you directing folks from your social to go to your blog? Are you doing like brand partnerships where you're doing like blog content and social content? Tell me about that relationship between the two.
Hoping to do brand partnerships through my blog. I haven't done that yet. I'm focusing more on my social media and taking my followers from there to my blog. So I'll show a clip of a room or a little before and after. And then for more details, visit the blog. And then in my link, you can just easily click on there and there's like a ton of information. So that's how I've been generating it to Pinterest. Pinterest has been heaven sent. my Pinterest, I post all of, I just recycle all of my stuff on there, my videos and my photos, and I put it up. And that's been generating a lot of more income for me actually through Pinterest. I think that's really helpful. People look for, when they're looking for ideas for a home and things like that, Pinterest is really good for that.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I feel like it's one of those platforms that people don't realize. It's a whole ass search engine, y'all. Like, anybody who's going on Pinterest is literally searching for inspiration for everything from like clothing, food, home design, vacation ideas. Like, so if you're not using Pinterest, what the hell are you doing?
What are you doing?
So you have now taken this career sabbatical from nursing to do this content creation thing full time. What was the moment for you that said, I'm ready to do this?
Okay, so let me take you back a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So I was working full time, 12-hour shifts, always a third shift for 14 years. And I went from full time. So full time at my job was 32 hours
a week.
Yes, sorry, 32 hours a week. Some people did 36 hours. It just depends if you do 12 hours or 8 hours. Weekend, every third. Like, nursing schedules are just all over the place. So I went from full time to per diem. So per diem meaning as necessary, as needed. But there was a minimum. So it was 6 shifts a month. And I did that for like a year and a half. So instead of just going out from full time to just like peace out, I kind of like, let me go per diem and try to balance both like this side hustle, basically career that I'm building on the side, and my job. So I did that for a little bit. And then I noticed that the environment was getting a little more and more toxic. My manager and I were not getting along. And I literally walked on faith and I said, this is it. I had bunion surgery and I went back for like 2 or 3 shifts and I was out. I think I was just exhausted. I was burnt out. I don't know. I just didn't like the energy. I would come home. Poor my partner, Louis, almost 20 years, that soul, that little angel. I would come home like fuming every day, like just so pissed that like any little situation, and it literally had me so uneasy. And I'm like, this is just mentally fucking with me and something's got to give. And I walked away from it.
That is ballsy. But I know that there's more to this story, because you've talked about the fact that you kind of did some stuff in the back end with your finances to allow yourself the option to even do this. So can we dive into that? What did you do to actually prepare your finances to take a pay cut? Because yeah, I'm sure you're probably not making as much money as you used to, but you don't give a fuck because you set that up on purpose.
Happy. I don't give a fuck because I'm happy.
I love that. Okay, so let's talk about it.
2018, I was on social media and I'm seeing all of these people holding up these signs that say like, I paid off $100,000 in 5.5 months. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, it's like all of these things. And I'm like, what is all this? Like, people are paying off their debt. Like, now, so I knew I had debt. We had one car payment. We had our student loans. We had one credit card between the two of us. And I think that was it. So I'm like, what is all this stuff? So I don't like this answer, Janice. I looked into it and long and behold, here comes Dave Ramsey. Do you even say the name?
Blech, I know. Yeah, we're gagging, but all right, I'll forgive this as long as there's a bright end to the story.
There's a bright end.
Okay.
So I then start researching, paying off debt. What does this mean? What are we doing here? I am looking at this guy. I'm listening to his information. And I call my boyfriend, who was at work at the time. And I'm like, I have this idea. I got to tell you about it. He's like, what is it now? And I was like, what if we just paid all of our debt off? Can you imagine what that must feel like? Anything to pay but our mortgage. And he's like, sure, we'll talk about it when we get home. And that man got home. I had my book. I had my ideas. I was like, look, we can do this. We can do that. Let's sit down and look at our finances. We sat down and the first thing I did was we listed everything that we owed. And when I looked at that number, I almost threw up.
Do you remember what it was?
It was $99,627.
Okay. And what was this composed of?
A lot of it was student loans between the two of us. We both had student loans, that one credit card. We had one car loan and we had another loan. And I couldn't believe it. Like, I knew I owed money. I thought it was maybe like 60K. When I saw that almost $100,000, I was like, we have to do something about this. So then we looked at our bank statements. Because, you know, you just use your little debit card here and there, but who's looking at the number? I'm not, because I was scared. I know. So I'm looking, I'm like, okay, where is the money going? Because I was making good money. Where's this money going? I didn't feel like we had a lot of bills. Like, we weren't living paycheck to paycheck. Like, we were doing things, you know, enjoying life. And my money was going to restaurants to eat for food, something quick here, buying here, just constantly. And I noticed that the more I was making at work, the more I was spending. Because then I thought to myself, oh, next week I could just work overtime.
It's that lifestyle inflation, y'all.
Yes. And we sat down every month. It was a little date night. And what we did was the snowball effect, which I found that to be super helpful for us because our mindset needed that traction. So the snowball effect is when you pay the lowest debt first and then the highest versus, I believe it's called the avalanche, where it's like the highest interest first. I feel like now I probably do interest because that's wild right now. But at the time I was like, let's bang out the smallest debt first. And that kind of gave us some traction to keep going. In 18 months, we paid it all off. And I could not believe we did that. We still went on trips. I went out to eat, not as much, but I went out to eat because I was like, listen, I'm not going to be extremely unhappy while I'm on this journey. So we're going out to eat. But we sat down, we budgeted. Every dollar was assigned to everything. Every single dollar was assigned. Whether or not it was like if we had an event, whose birthday parties are we going to this month? All right, gifts, clothing, food, every single dollar. And we even went to Hawaii 1 month before we became debt free. So in January of 2020, before everything shut down, we took a trip to Hawaii. And then in February of 2020, we became debt free, everything but our mortgage. And I think that honestly, coming up with that idea, not that I came up with it, but like presenting that idea to Lewis and sitting down and executing it the way we did gave me the confidence to be like, you know what? I'm fucking leaving this job.
I am obsessed with your story because, first of all, were you even planning to be able to give yourself the option to leave your job, or it just happened to coincide that you'd been smart?
It just happened. Like, I don't think I planned any of this, honestly. Like, just things that, like, I'm like, what if we did this? Let's challenge ourselves. Let's do this. But I think I'm really open and into growing and changing my mindset because I know for a fact that I don't want to be where I was 10, 20, even 5 years ago, even last year. Like, I want to continue to grow. I don't want to feel stuck. So I think for me, learning and doing research and things like that really is what gets me going with my ideas. Some work, some don't. And these just happen to fall into place and work.
That's incredible. And it speaks to every person that I know that is just like crafting a life that feels very intentional. It's because they have this growth mindset that you're talking about, of just not accepting the shit we've been told, that it's normal to be in debt, that it's normal to hate your job, that you can't make money doing something that you're passionate about. All of that shit is toxic. And the people that tell you that are always the people who are not doing shit. So I think we need to remember that, like, do not fucking take advice from people who are not doing the thing that you want to do, because they are not qualified to be giving you this bullshit ass advice. And I had no idea that we actually shared the same debt freedom date. I became debt free in February 2022. Like, I literally 2 weeks before the pandemic. It was crazy.
Literally. And then everything shut down. And I'm like, oh, now we're going to save a lot of money.
And thank God I don't have to worry about losing my job, because then how am I going to pay this fucking debt and all that stuff? Debt freedom, y'all, is the first step to becoming financially independent. Because when you don't owe people money, you have way more options. You can invest more. You can save more. You can take a pay cut. You can change careers. You have fucking options. And so when I talk to people about the financial independence movement and they hear these crazy numbers of saving $2 million and I got to invest $20,000 a year, blah, blah, I'm like, can we just focus on you not owing anybody shit? Because that's going to take you so fucking far. And going to allow you to start living that financially independent style life way sooner than following the traditional trajectory of like, let's retire at 65.
Exactly. I didn't know where it was going to lead me. I just thought, you know, let's do this and see what happens. And financial freedom, you hear it. You're like, what does that mean to me? You don't know what it means to you until you get there. And you're like, oh, this is what it means. Okay, I got it now.
Ugh, I love it. I love your story so much. I want to know now that first day that you woke up that you're like, holy fuck, I just took a bet on myself and I'm going to do this damn thing. Like, what was going through your head and kind of what's your life look like now since you've made that transition?
So it's been 6 months since I left my job and mentally I was like, boom, first day I'm going to get up. Like, we're going. And my body was like, bitch, you worked third shift for 10 plus years. Let's take it easy. So for a while, I was like, I want to say like a funk. I was excited that I didn't have to go, but I was almost like frozen. I'm like, what do I do now?
That's recovering from burnout. That's literally what that is.
I had all of this time and I'm like, I can't allow the pressure of me having all this time to kind of like get me into a hustle mentality. And then I burn out from this new career that I'm trying to do. So I'm like, what do I do? And I'm like, you know what? Let me rest. Let me try to get used to this day being up during the day, basically, and see how things go from there. So it's been 6 months and I am right now saying yes to a lot of things because I have the freedom to do that. And I am working on my mindset a little bit more because I had a mindset shift when I was paying off my debt. And I feel like now going into this new mindset of my career and being an entrepreneur and doing this shit because I have no clue what I'm doing. But I'm just learning as I go. I am working with clients now. I'm more available, but I feel like if I work on my mindset and my growth, and I'm going to feel happier and I'm going to present as the best version of myself to the people around me and to my clients.
I love that. So now you're doing consultations, right? For folks that want to do interior design changes. What type of stuff are you doing as a content creator to monetize?
So right now I am monetizing on my blog, my ads on there, affiliate marketing. So I have an Amazon storefront. I have Like to Know It. So a lot of people shop on there too.
I think you've done some brand partnerships on social.
I did brand partnerships. I'm not focusing on that so much right now because the emails going back and forth and the negotiations is taking a toll on me. So I'm like, let me, you know, sit back on that a little
bit. Yeah, y'all got to come correct with the numbers or we don't need to talk.
But I'm working with clients and I'm monetizing on social media. No, it's not a lot. TikTok, you know, I'm in the creativity program and they pay based on views of the videos. But the majority of my income is through ads on my blog and through my clients now.
I freaking love it. Okay. So I want to talk about the fact that you have a partner, you have a family. How did you get them on board with this? Or were you just kind of like, I'm doing this, y'all, so figure it out. Like,
so I'm glad you asked this question. So Lewis is my partner of almost 20 years. He's usually on board with whatever the hell I want to do. Again, God bless that man.
He's been here for a while, so he knows.
He knows. Yeah, exactly. And my son. So I have one boy, he's 15. And let me tell you, I'm so glad you asked this question. When I told him I was leaving my nursing job, I honestly thought telling my mother was going to be, the reaction wasn't going to be that great. His reaction, he was like, you're doing what? Why? How could you? What the about the babies that you take care of? Like, he was like, very like, what does this mean? But that's actually been helpful because now he's looking at me and seeing like, wow, okay. She's changing her career. She's going for another passion. And for me to show him the things that I've done and I yet have to do, I think that's going to be awesome to teach him that lesson.
Absolutely. I love that. And I feel like people are not going to get it until they see it in action. Like my family was just like, girl, are you crazy? Now my mom's like, oh, you got a whole ass book coming out? Like, okay, I understand why you're doing this. There's a greater vision here than just sitting in a fucking cubicle or clocking into a job. Like there's more for you to do here. And I think by you doing what you're doing, you're setting an incredible example for your son about what it looks like to work, what it looks like to have autonomy over your career. I'm sure you're inspiring your friends, your family, your loved ones. They're just probably looking at you like, damn, Joanna's a badass and I want to be more like her.
You know what's connected to Janice? I'm a student again. I am a student online. I'm taking a course, an interior design course at the New York Institute of Art and Design. And that was actually pretty cool to show my son. He was like, oh, you're going to take a class? Oh, that's so cool. I actually, in the mail, got my little student ID. And I was like, look, I'm a student again. And he's like, oh, this is so cool. Like, he's looking at that and he's like, oh, that's awesome. Like, so now he's looking at and he's like, oh, all right. She's doing. Yeah.
That is so fantastic. Okay. So you clearly have figured out the secret to giving yourself the option to take a career break and to explore the things that you're passionate about. What advice would you give to somebody who is in that place in their career that like, I don't want to keep doing this shit. I know there's other stuff I can do. There's other stuff I want to do. What's one thing that I need to do in order to give myself permission to start making that transition?
So I have a couple of things that I want to share. The first advice I would give anyone, whether or not you're trying to pay off debt or whether or not you're looking into changing your career. So start small. There's so much information out there. So for example, so when I wanted to look into just financial freedom, I focused on paying off debt and really honed in on that subject instead of looking at it as a whole picture. So it's like investing, retirement, like credit card hacks and all that stuff, because then that becomes so overwhelming. So I focused on the one thing. I'm like, okay, what is the issue? Do I have an income issue? I do not. I don't have an income issue. I have a money management issue. So budgeting, and I have this debt that I want to get rid of. So I focused only on that one thing. Once I did that, I moved on to other things. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's not just a checking and a savings account, high yield savings account. What does that mean? Let's put our emergency fund there. So one step at a time. I didn't look at it as a big picture because it's so overwhelming. And then I don't do anything. I just freeze. So just one step at a time. Another thing too, when I was paying off my debt, right? And I was following that man that we are not going to speak about again. I was like, okay, this dude, like, what is he talking about? Where are the people that look like me that I can relate to? Like, where are those people? And I remember being in my garage and I was refinishing a piece of furniture. And I was like, oh, you know what? I want to start listening to podcasts. I'm like, what finance podcast? Because I was in my debt-free journey. I was looking into finances. I had already honed in on the paying off the debt and budgeting. I already had that. I knew the steps to take. What else can I learn? So I looked up financial podcast and Yo Quiero Dinero came up. This must have been, when did you start your blog, Janice?
I started Yo Quiero Dinero in 2019 in April.
Okay. 2019, I literally started listening because I remember it being new because I remember there not being a lot of episodes. I'm like, oh, I'm going to start with the first episode and then just go from there. And I was listening to all of these women, all of these Latinas, and I'm like, oh my God, finally, people that I can relate to. And I'm like, oh, then that really motivated me to be like, okay, I'm on the right path. Let's keep going. It kind of hit different once I found your podcast, I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. So with all the information that's online, look for people that they don't have to look like you, but are in the same situation, have the same upbringing. That way you can kind of relate to them and see like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it for sure. You know, when you can't relate to the person for nothing, you're just like, this is just falling on dead ears at this point. So that's one of the things. And right now, another advice I want to give, that right now I'm living in the uncomfortable, right? So when I showed up on social media, getting on stories and showing my face and talking, I was like, I'm going to throw up. And I was like, oh, this is uncomfortable, but just keep doing it until it becomes comfortable. Now I just show up, girl, I look hurt. I'm like, on it. I show up. I'm like, listen up.
I got some shit to say and I'm going to say it.
I show up and I'm more comfortable with that. So now I'm like, okay, what's going to make me a little bit more uncomfortable? Sit in that until you get comfortable and go on and go on.
Girl, you are so full of gems. I'm like so here for all of this. And just, I have to say, watching you grow and really lean into becoming your most authentic self, showing up in the way, like all your social media content just feels very you. It doesn't feel like you're trying to imitate anybody else. You're just doing your damn thing. You are clearly in your zone of genius. It comes off so real and authentic. So I love what you say about like that shit takes practice, y'all. Anything that you're not used to doing, every time you do it, it's a little less scary. It's a little less terrifying. It's a little less intimidating, but you have to start. Joanna, I want to thank you so much for being here. I know folks are going to want to find out so much more about you. They're going to have all the questions about how you're doing this. They're going to want to follow your journey. So tell us where we can find you and all the things that you're up to.
So thank you for having me again, Janice. So much fun. So you can find me on all social media platforms. I'm actually on YouTube now. So I haven't even shared that. I've been on YouTube. I'm just sharing my doing YouTube shorts on there too. You can find me Painting by the Penny, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest, my blog, paintingbythepenny.com. Subscribe to my newsletter where I give you some behind the scenes things that I'm doing. It gets a little bit personal there too. Yeah, Painting by the Penny. That's where you can find me.
I love it. Please keep up the incredible work. We're all so inspired by what you're doing. And y'all, I just want you to see, like, these are real people who are betting on themselves, who are taking the chance, who are saying, I'm done playing small. I'm done being scared. I'm going to do the damn thing. I'm going to do it in a smart way. I'm going to do it in a strategic way, but I'm going to do it anyway. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Janice.
Absolutely.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you are ready to take your dinero to the next level, sign up for our free 14-page guide, The Financially Lit Latina, the ultimate blueprint for becoming poderosa with your dinero. This 14-page guide includes our best tips on money mindset, budgeting, debt repayment, career, investing, financial independence, side hustles, and more. And you can get it completely free. So to get your copy of The Financially Lit Latina, just head over to YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com/start and start transforming your dinero story today. Until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, and stay poderosa. On the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes only and does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liability with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or misleading or defamatory statements. Usage of this podcast and associated content constitutes an explicit understanding and acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.